The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This little snapshot that we get in the Gospel of Luke of the purification of Jesus is an insight into what Christmas, the incarnation of God, is really about. Now, no doubt you have all been out and about in the last week since Christmas Eve. Was it just a week? So you're aware that Christmas for the rest of the world, for the rest of our culture, is about leftovers now. We know somebody who put their tree out on the curb on the 26th. Christmas is over. Oh, and we love those post-Christmas sales because we have to clear the shelves for Valentine's Day, don't you know? You can get a Christmas tree, artificial one, a new one, very inexpensively right now. Because for the rest of the world, Christmas is over. But for people of faith, this story of old Simeon and Anna is where Christmas is really at. And I do take some issue with them calling Anna of extreme old age at 84. Because we've got folks that are active and doing a whole lot of stuff well past the age of 84 around here. But that aside, Joseph and Mary took the infant Jesus, 7 days old, took him to the temple to have him purified. And you all know what that means. But we had an infant here on Christmas Eve. It was one of Wilbur and Debbie Johnston's grandbabies. And the baby was 6 days old. I mean, that's fresh and new. That is still curled up. Legs haven't even straightened out yet. And I saw that baby and I thought, that's how Simeon and Anna met the Messiah. Think about that. I think many people have this image, even though Christmas is a big deal, many people have this image that Jesus' first entry into the world was the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You know, but Jesus didn't come in a parade or with a marching band or with troops. Jesus came as a curled up little baby. And the people who knew what to look for recognized that. And so that's what I'm hoping for all of us in the new year, is that when we encounter Christ, we recognize him. How would you know if you encountered Christ? That's going to take an open heart. Will you encounter Christ when everything is going well? That's not what the Bible says. Will you encounter Christ when you win the lottery? Well, you have to buy a ticket first, but that's still not going to be the answer. Let's get some clues from old Simeon and Anna. Simeon, it is said, was righteous and devout. He was looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. That's the first thing. He was aware and waiting and anticipating that God would do something. And especially in this Gospel of Luke, we see how important the presence of the Holy Spirit is. Spirit of God, fill us all, that we might have eyes to see. When we are in the presence of Christ, when we are in the midst of encountering Christ, Holy Spirit, come. And it had been for Simeon. He saw the six-day-old infant. And he said, this is it, because it had been revealed to him. But he knew more. He knew this child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. You're not going to hear Joel Osteen ever preach that. Because the reality of faith is that Jesus walked with and encountered opposition. Because he loved everybody. He reached out to everybody. No one was a stranger. I have a pastor colleague in Boulder, Colorado. His name is Roger Wolsey. And he felt called this Christmas season to go look for Jesus among the homeless in Boulder. Now, Boulder is one of many communities that's cracking down on homelessness. And by cracking down on homelessness, they mean people are not allowed to help them. People are not allowed to shelter them, etc., etc. So they have one homeless facility. And Roger was writing about his encounters with Christ this week. And he said one of the homeless people that he met under a bridge, and he had a picture of just lots of people sleeping under a bridge. And he expected he will be arrested sometime this week. But one of the women was under the bridge, and his church had gathered up sleeping bags and coats and things for them, offered her a coat and a sleeping bag, and he said, "How did you end up being here?" And she said, "Well, I was 3 minutes late for curfew at the homeless shelter." And she was disabled. So she had a walker, and mobility was very difficult for her, and she had all of her possessions, everything she owned, with her. And she missed the curfew by 3 minutes. And she said, "It was my own fault. I didn't make it in time." He said, "I encountered Christ when I met her." She was as helpless at that point as that 7-day-old infant. But how could I be Christ to her? And his mission is to expose the issues around homelessness, not just to blame those who are in those circumstances, but to help create a better society that people won't be freezing to death under bridges. How will we encounter Christ in the new year? Well, there was the prophet Anna. The staff and I looked at this week. This can't be. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then she was widowed. We have lots of widows around here. But in that time, if you were widowed and you didn't have a male heir, you were on your own. Financially, culturally. So what did Anna do? But she stayed at the temple. And she prayed, and she worshiped, and she fasted. Those aren't necessarily popular things to do. But you are here because worship is important to you. And she prayed and she fasted. These are spiritual disciplines that go back to the very beginning. A lot of times, if you are searching for God and for God's answers, those answers might best be found if you clear out the rest of the clutter, like the microphone in front of me. Clear out the rest of the clutter. Take time to be alone with God and listen. Don't just ask, but listen. What might God be saying? but she was also in the temple, which is something that I love so much about all of you. Because I could name each one of you individually and tell you what you mean to the rest of this church community. And I think you could all pretty much do the same thing. Because it is in the community of Christ where we learn and practice compassion. And we share hope with each other. When one is down, we lift them up. Community is like a net. And a good Christian community won't let anybody fall through the net. You are all body of Christ to me and to each other. And one that was not in the gospel, but which was in the psalm. Sing praise. Psalm 148 is one of the greatest psalms of praise. I think that's the Easter Vigil one, right? Praise the Lord, all creation. All you angels and Lord and sun and moon and heaven and earth and everything, praise God. For when we are in an attitude of praise and we're looking for what God is doing redemptively in our lives, in our community, it's harder to be negative. And we won't be bringing other people down. Sing praise. I sing praise all the time of what God is doing in this congregation and through all of you. Sing praise. What has God done that you've noticed? How have you encountered Christ? Sing praise. A year or so, I encouraged you all to keep a gratitude journal. As we enter this new year, it's another opportunity. Get yourself a little notebook, or maybe even a hardcover book or a moleskin, whatever you like to write in. Make it tactile. Don't do it online. Keep yourself a little booklet and sing praise. Write down everything when you are grateful to God. And the more you write down, the more you notice. I sing praise that we all start 2018 together. And the folks who were smart enough to stay in out of the cold this morning, they're part of that journey too. I sing praise that God, when God wanted to show the world what it would be like if God was human, that God started with the infant Jesus. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.